123 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love Thee and worthily magnify Thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, we beseech thee, make us to have a perpetual fear and love of thy holy name. For thou never failest to help and govern those whom thou hast set upon the sure foundation of thy loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you with the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by the sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The portion of Psalm 9 appointed for this morning is found in your bulletin insert. We will read this responsively by half verse. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed.
A refuge in time of trouble.
Those who know your name will put their trust in you.
For you never forsake those who seek you, O Lord.
Sing praise to the Lord who dwells in Zion.
Proclaim to the peoples the things he has done.
The avenger of blood will remember them.
He will not forget the cry of the afflicted.
Have pity on me, O Lord.
See the misery I suffer from those who hate me.
So that I may tell of all of your praises and rejoice in your salvation.
In the gates of the city of Zion.
The ungodly have fallen into the pit they dug.
And in the snare they set to their own foot caught.
The Lord is known by his acts of justice.
The wicked are trapped in the works of their own hands.
The wicked shall be given over to the grave.
And also that God.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Rise up, O Lord, let not the ungodly have the upper hand.
Let them be judged before you.
Put fear upon them, O Lord.
Let the ungodly know they are but mortal.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat,
just as he was. That's how our gospel reading opens for today, and it leaves us with many questions to begin on that day. On what day, we might ask? Is the day significant? What is going on that day? Or what was going on prior to that day that led Jesus to want to go to the other side? And then we ask, to the other side of what? What is this other side? And is this significant? What is going on here? What has led up to this moment? The answer is quite simply, a lot. Before this reading from the fourth chapter of Mark, John has proclaimed the coming of Jesus. He has been baptized and immediately driven into the wilderness. He has called his disciples, healed throngs of people, and removed demons from at least as many. And in the last chapter, the third chapter of Mark, he was restrained by his family because of his seemingly bizarre behavior, accused of being a cohort of Beelzebub himself, and followed that with lengthy teaching and parables about what the kingdom of God is like and how it is being revealed in the world. He's already gone to sea with the disciples once and has developed a great following of those wishing to be healed. And he's also discomforted quite a few demons who seem to be the only ones who know fully who he is. And so it is this that leads up to this day on which Jesus says to the disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And the other side is not exactly Happy Valley either. It's a pagan area. It's the Decapolis. It's Jewish land, but Hellenistic. It reeks of Roman occupation. And the odds are that this band will not be met with open arms and welcomed in as long-lost friends. But Jesus said, "Let's go." And so they set out. The line that follows that, though, sounds like a real shift in roles. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. They took him with them in the boat, just as he was. What does that mean? I thought Jesus was in charge here. I thought he was calling the shots. And all of a sudden, it sounds as though the disciples were in charge, and they were taking Jesus with them on a voyage where they were in charge. And not only that, they were taking him just as he was. How else would you possibly take Jesus? More importantly, what does it mean to take Jesus just as he was? On first thought, we can't imagine Jesus being anything other than just what he was, just as he was. But on deeper reflection, we might realize that taking Jesus just as he is not nearly as benign as it sounds. And for some reason, in thinking on this, I was reminded of the ancient gasoline slogan that encouraged people to put a tiger in your tank. The disciples knew this to be true. Jesus was not exactly predictable. He didn't really follow all the prescribed rules of how to live in nice social settings. But they took him along as he was. And the night that followed was not uneventful. Jesus falls asleep on a cushion, presumably exhausted after having days of healings and exorcisms, teaching and rebukings. At this point, the disciples are probably thinking, whatever, at least we get a break from those parables for a while. But then there comes this storm, and they are unnerved. That itself might seem a bit odd, since they're mostly fishermen and have encountered storms before. But things have changed. they have Jesus, albeit asleep, just as he is, the one who's taking care of things that no one could imagine. And they want him to take care of this too. And if not take care of it, at least worry with them. So they awaken him. And rather than rebuking them for not allowing him a full rest, he rebukes the storm. He says, "Peace, be still." And that's that. The wind ceases, and there is a dead calm, as Mark describes it. Remember Elijah? Remember the wind and the earthquake and the fire? Remember Elijah standing there on the side of Mount Horeb, waiting for God, and after the wind and the earthquake and the fire, there was a sound of sheer silence. And then there was the voice of God. There's a lot of history with God in storms and God in silence. In Mark, now we have the storm on the sea, the raging waters, the waters of chaos. The greatest fear of the ancients, water, out of control. And we have Jesus, just as he was, awakened and calming the storm. They took Jesus with them in that boat, and the boat became incredibly unstable, and he was asleep. They roused him, and he calmed the sea, and he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And that pierces our hearts, because we know that we too are still afraid. And perhaps we have no faith. Taking Jesus with us is a dangerous prospect, because taking Jesus into our boat involves the unleashing of God, the very God that can calm the sea, but is also the very God that can engage those seas to flood the entire earth. This is the God that separated the seas from the earth, that calmed the chaos, but also the God that upends every boundary that we set. When we take Jesus into our boat, we can expect a storm. Not a storm of indifference, but a storm of relevance. Things that we thought, rules and norms that we hold near and dear, are no longer the guiding force. Our God is not tame. Our God is not under our control. But we are all in this boat. So often we pray, offering God a laundry list of what we would have God do for us. Do we have faith enough to trust God, even when God seems to be asleep? Do we have faith enough to weather the storm, even when the storm doesn't end as we think it should? What is it that we're really expecting when we bring Jesus into our boat? Are we ready to put this tiger in our tank? Are we faithful enough to weather the storm, to trust that even when the storm is raging and when we are in the midst of the storms of life, that Jesus is there? What is it that we are really afraid of? What stifles our faith? Some of us are afraid of spiders. I have this fear of blood. Others are afraid of heights or slippery slopes, or even other people. But those are not the fears that prevent our faith. Not really. The fear that gets in the way of our ability to trust God, to trust Jesus, is the fear of being left alone to suffer and die. That's really the heart of it, isn't it? We are afraid that all of those around us will abandon us, and we will suffer and then cease to exist. Who better to be there if that does happen than the very one who went through that exact same thing? Who would know about that experience more than Jesus? The very one who was abandoned by those folks who were just with him in that boat, who suffered death by crucifixion, then conquered that death and rose again. Who better to have on this journey? There are no promises of smooth sailing, but there are promises of life, eternal life. Eternal life with a tiger in your tank. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God of God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church and the world.
Almighty and ever living God, you in thy holy word have taught us to make prayers and supplications and give thanks for all men. Receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant all those who do confess thy holy name may read the truth of thy holy word and live in unity of God's love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Roman, Archbishop of Canterbury, Catherine, who God is bishop, Henry, our bishop, Keith, our bishop of Suffragan, and Lee, our priest in charge. They may both, by their life and doctrine, set forth thy truth and lively word, and rightly and duly administer the holy sacrament. In the diocese cycle of prayer, we pray for St. Luke, Scottsboro, St. Michael, Fayette, our companion diocese of Haiti, and Bishop, our missionaries to North America, Jeremy and Penny Lucas, the diocese AIDS Task Force, and for all who work toward the goal of combating AIDS and malaria and other diseases. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we give thanks to the clergy and the people of the Aquacor, province of the Ghost, and Iberia. And to all those people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to those congregations, your presence, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. For the members of our armed forces whose task is to defend us in danger, defend them day by day as your heavenly grace. For the whole human family, take away the arrogance and hatred which affect our hearts. Break down the walls and separate us, unite us in bonds of love, and work through our struggles and confusion to accomplish your purpose. speaks these also to the rural hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, especially our President Barack and members of Congress, that they may be led to wise decisions, right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold the gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with thy substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and sick of all those who in the transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear. Beseeching thee to grant thee continued growth in thy love and service and grant us grace for following the good example. The sick, Dave Cooper, Sheila Hendricks, Taylor Darby, Bill Hubbard, Helen Owen Barron, Bill Spidle, Billy and Sharon Lancaster, Dr. Ken Hutchinson, Mark Stewart, Taylor Nelson, Reverend Connie Ledbetter, Rhonda Johnson, Guy Carr, Brock Paradise, Jackson Worley, Van Hamilton, Pete Lapkus, Bill Turner, Trina Donald Arnold, and Aubrey Goldman. All thy saints, that with them we may partake of thy heavenly kingdom, grant these our prayers as Father for Jesus Christ's sake, only our mediator and advocate.
Amen. We also pray today for fathers. For our fathers who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love, we pray to the Lord. For fathers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them. For our fathers who have died, that God may bring them into the joy of his kingdom. God, our Father, in your wisdom and love you made all things. Bless all fathers that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against thee, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, and we may glide in thy will.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. We're glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us today, please do sign the visitor's book that you'll find in the back of the church so that we will know how to better get in touch with you and get you on our mailing list. I promise I will not harass you, but I would love to get to know you. We have lemonade in the garden immediately following the service, so be sure and go out to the garden and take part in the lemonade and cookies and meet and greet everyone there. Tomorrow morning we have brass polishers here at 9 a.m. Please come and keep our brass looking beautiful. And that is not a women-only thing. You men can come and polish brass, too. I'm sure you could learn how to do that. I hear you're trainable. Okay, Ultrea tonight at 6 p.m. at the home of Carol Sock. Everyone is invited. Please be sure and be there tonight at 6 p.m. for a fun evening. There are many, many more announcements on here. One in particular, and do pay attention to the back of the order of service. One in particular is the one about general convention. Will be July the 8th. I'm going to read to you what the diocese sent out. The 76th General Convention of the Episcopal Church will convene in Anaheim, California, July 8th, and will address many topics with emphasis on global concerns, domestic and foreign mission, and the Anglican Communion. Everyone is invited to meet and talk with Alabama's bishops and deputies to convention during a special forum, which will be Sunday, June 28th, that's next Sunday at 3:30 at St. Stephen's in Birmingham. As an adjunct to the forum, the diocese will be videotaping I Am Episcopalian segments for the National Church Center and diocesan website. So if you want to be famous, you might want to go. Those interested are invited to take a moment to share why they are Episcopalian. For additional information, a list of Alabama's deputies and directions to St. Stephen's, visit the diocesan website. If you don't have internet access, CS of the church office will be happy to tell you where it is and how to get there. That will be next Sunday at 3:30. I have another wonderful announcement. On July the 3rd, the Thursday evening men's reunion group will be offering for you Boston butts. Cooked. I could go off on this, but I'm not going to. They will be available on July 3rd for your use for the 4th of July celebration at only $25 each. All funds raised will go to support our Haiti mission trip, so please tell all your friends and family. They don't have to cook for the 4th this year. Just make a reservation, but you do need to order in advance, so we'll make sure that we have enough for everybody. Keep that in mind. Call the church office. Let us know. Yes, Catherine? Speaking of Haiti, how much money do we get this week?
$628. I know that you won't.
Watch out. She'll come after you. All right. Any other? Oh, I do want to let you know that on Wednesday I will be leaving to go to work on my doctorate of ministry for 3 weeks at Swanee. Keep me in your prayers as I take two classes in 3 weeks. It's lots of work. I will be here on Sundays. I will be here on Sundays, but I will not be here during the week. So if you need me, I still have the cell phone, or you can call the church office. Glenda will know how to find me. I'm gone, but not totally. So. Just keep that in mind. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, according to whose true promise the Holy Ghost came down from heaven, lighting upon the disciples to teach them and to lead them into all truth, uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith, and giving to thy church the power to serve thee as a royal priesthood, and to preach the gospel to all nations. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, according to the institution of thy dearly beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty, with these thy holy gifts which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make. Having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him
that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this, our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with him, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.